Welcome to our noonday Bible study here at Cross Culture Church. We welcome all who are listening on the podcast, and we welcome you. And we are now in the, we're still in the book of Revelation, and we're now going into chapter 7. And is there anyone who have any questions or comments regarding the last chapter before we start? Any questions or so forth that points of clarity? Okay, well then we'll just move on to chapter 7. Chapter 7 is described as an interlude, which means a pause. And we're going to be looking at the redeemed of the tribulation, redeemed of the tribulation. In verses 1 to 8, we're going to read about the redeemed. And then, 1 to 17, I think it's 17 verses in this chapter, is about the redeemed of the tribulation. And verses 1 to 8, we will be looking at the 144 Israelites. Okay, are redeemed. So let's start. Okay, verse 1, it says, "And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree." Now, remember, keep that in mind, that they should not blow, okay? 2, "And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads." So, at this protection, this is identical to the name of God written in their foreheads. Now, let me make sure I got my notes together. Here we have it. Here the angels are pictured as holding back the winds of disaster. Okay, it said do not, right? They're holding back the winds of disaster. The Lord is in control of these events. Now, if he was in control of that, he's certainly in control of what's going on today. Mm-hmm. And even in our country, with all this madness and lunacy, he's in control. Mm-hmm. He's in control. And he knows, okay? God is preserving this world from total destruction for the sake of his people. Yeah. This world, not only take what is Revelation talking about. Remember, Revelation is what is to come. So when we're talking about this world, we're talking about this world that we live in. Okay, so God is preserving the world from total destruction for the sake of his people. There is a work to be done in them and by them as witnesses to the world before the winds can be released. Okay, what is meant by this is there is a work to be done. There are still more people to come into the kingdom. There are still more people to be witnesses. Now, always hearing, oh, just take every opportunity you can to witness, and you be led by the Holy Spirit, okay? Mm-hmm. Be led by the Holy Spirit. Not that does not say you don't have a chance. You can witness just by a smile. Mm-hmm. You can witness by a kind mm-hmm. word. Mm-hmm. The heart has to be prepared to receive the gospel. So here the Lord is saying, hold back, because there's more work to be done. And this 144, the Israelites. Now, I could go off on a tangent on that one, but I won't. because what we have in Christendom is why You know, there's a lot of question, why the 44 Israelites? We're going to get to that. God is sovereign. He chose those people before he chose us.
He did.
Okay? We were grafted in and should be glad we grafted in.
Amen.
Rather than, well, I don't know why, you know, we still got a lot of discussion about that. But let me tell you something. Let no one deceive you about who the 144 are.
Mm-hmm.
They are the Israelites, okay? They are coming out of the tribes, okay, of Israel. Now, it says, the devastation that will precede the second coming of Christ is put off until the servants of God and sealed in their foreheads. The seal is a mark of God's protection for his people. If someone would turn to Ezekiel 9:4 and someone 9 and read Ezekiel 9:4-6, not 4-6, but just 4-6. Someone please turn to Exodus 12:13, and we will see the mark. So we have Ezekiel 9:4-6 and Exodus 12:13.
I have 9:4-6.
Okay, would you read, sir?
Is it 9:4-6?
No, there's 9:4 and then go to 6.
Okay, Ezekiel 9:4. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the forehead of the men that sigh and that cry for all the admonition that be done in the midst thereof. Slay utterly old and young, slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man with whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house.
Amen. Okay, that tells you right there. He said the men, okay? So you know, everybody else can have all they want to about it, but that's what who God said, the men. Okay, now we go to who has Exodus 12:13?
Okay, I have it.
Okay.
But the blood on your doorposts will serve as a sign, making the house where you are staying. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. This plague of death will not touch you when I strike the land of Egypt.
Okay, so these signs are identical. It is identical to the name of God. Written on the forehead, the blood on the doorpost signified that the death angel would pass, right? That was God's first beginning of saving his people, okay? And then you saw in Ezekiel where the men would be the called ones, okay? And somebody please turn to Revelation 14:1 and Revelation 22:4. These are all the supportive verses to the mark. Revelation 14:1.
And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their forehead.
Mm-hmm. Okay, 22:4, Revelation 22:4. Yes, ma'am.
And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their forehead.
Okay, we got that now. God's name signifies his character, as we can read in Exodus 34:5-7. If someone could run to that quickly, because we need to be looking at these supportive scriptures to see God's name signifies his character, as we see in Exodus 34:5-7. 34:5-7. Come on, turn them scriptures. Well, you'll turn them like our grandmothers did. They'd be on it. 34.
Then the Lord came down in a cloud and stood there with him, and he called out his own name, Yahweh.
Hallelujah.
The Lord passed in front of Moses. Well, that was the end of that. Calling out, Yahweh, the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy. And I am slow to anger and filled with unfulfilling love and faithfulness.
Okay. So now we see all that's going to happen when the Lord, when you go back in Ezekiel, where he says, slain women, all but the men. But he's compassionate. We're going to find out. We're going to see. Okay? God's name signifies his character. The forehead is where the conscience resides. Now we're going to see why the forehead. The forehead is where the conscience resides and decisions are made. So the seal or name in the forehead is the character of God written in the mind. Mm-hmm. Written in the mind, the character of God. Mm-hmm. Now, remember, he circumcises our heart with his word.
Right.
But now, what is he doing with the mind? Cool. See, the mind, it controls your soul.
Mm-hmm.
Is that an amen on that?
Amen.
Okay.
But they say the battle is in the mind.
That's right. Mm-hmm. The battle is in the mind. So we say, so the seal or the name in the forehead is the character of God written in the mind.
Mm.
Mm. Okay. Now, so now we need a reader for verse 4 to 5. Can we, in Revelation 7, 4 to 5. Can we get a reader 4 to 5? And then somebody slide your finger down to 6 to 7. 4 to 5. Revelation 7, 4 to 5. Who's got it?
And I heard the number of them. Oh, you hit me. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. And of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000.
Okay. Who's got 6 to 8?
From Asher, 12,000. From, is that
Naphtali,
12,000. From Manasseh, 12,000. From Simeon, 12,000. From Levi, 12,000. From Issachar, 12,000. From Zebulun, 12,000. From Joseph, 12,000. And from Benjamin, 12,000.
Okay.
And together it equals the 144,000.
They have, okay, so it is said of them that are redeemed from the earth. These are the 144. They have a unique, they have a unique victory song. They are called the first fruits, are without fault, and they follow the Lamb wheresoever he goeth. So if somebody would turn over to Revelation 14:1-5, 14, and what we're going to read about their unique song, their victory, 14:1-5, Revelation.
And I looked, and lo, a Lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps, and they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb, and in their mouth was found no guile, and they are without fault before the throne of God.
Well,
who are they?
They are.
Who are they?
Okay. Now, this group will be alive at the second coming of Christ. The 144 will work as evangelists, proclaiming the gospel. Now, there was an omission of one tribe there.
Yeah.
Don't tell them yet. I'll let you tell them.
The tribe that was missing was Dan. Mm-hmm. Okay. And there's a reason for it as well, allegedly, that Dan, I like to say Dan and Ephraim also, they were the ones who actually introduced us to idolatry, worshiping other gods, and things of that nature there.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And so, all kind of good stuff.
Okay, somebody turn to Leviticus 24:11. Someone turn to 1 Kings 12:28-29, and we're going to see why Dan.
First King 12.
Yes. 1 Kings 12:28-29, and Leviticus 24:11. Leviticus 24:11, 1 Kings 12:28-29.
You said 24:11?
Yes, 24:11, ma'am.
And the Israelite woman's son blasphemed the name of the Lord and cursed, and so they brought him to Moses. His mother's name was Shelomphothi, the daughter of Dabri of the tribe of Dan.
It's the first one. Who's got
First King?
Yep.
So on the advice of his counselors, the king made two gold calves. He said to the people, "It is too much trouble for you to worship in Jerusalem. Look, Israel, these are the gods who brought you out of Egypt." He placed these calf idols in Bethel and in Dan at either end of the kingdom. Keep going.
Okay, no, that's okay. Good. So I just wanted us to see why Dan. Now, fast forward to where we are today. Okay, so in 1 Kings, the king said, "Oh, it's just too much trouble to go to Jerusalem. We're going to graving some images and we'll worship here." Okay, here you got universal salvation. Oh, it's too much trouble to really give your heart to the Lord, because God just loves you, so you can get you're saved. Okay, you don't have to go and assemble with the saints. You can just turn on Christian TV and listen to and get your word, or go with a group of people who believe like you and have your little philosophy meetings and but y'all love God, so that's it. It's compromise. It's just finding your convenience, your satisfaction, and manipulating it to be a worship to God. Okay, so I don't want to go too long on that one. Okay, so so now we're in chapter 9. Is that true? We're in chapter 9.
No,
verse 9. I'm verse sorry, 9. Y'all. He doesn't bear with me.
Verse 9.
No, verse 9. We're in verse 9.
Chapter 7,
honey. I'm sorry. And 9, verse 9 says, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations." Oh, here we come. Here we come. He leave us out. Here we come.
Amen.
"And after this I behold, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all the nations and kindreds," hallelujah, "and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands." Mm-hmm. Oh, my. Here. Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
And bring it down.
So, and 10, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels stood around the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessings and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Well, before I go give a little commentary on the verses I just read, we today, all saints, should be falling on their face, raising holy hands, giving honor and power to Lord, the Lord, glory and wisdom and honor and power and might. Because the days that we're living in are troubled times. Mm-hmm. These are troubled times. It's very dangerous times. People were talking about, 10 years ago, we can't travel out of the country around certain countries because it's so dangerous. You can't travel around America in certain parts because it's dangerous. And in 7, in addition to the 144, here now we see the multitude of the redeemed. That's us, okay? Mm-hmm. That's us, the multitude of the redeemed, which no man could number, gathered from every nation. In their hands they have palm branches, a symbol of victory over the world and sin. And they are clothed with white robes, which represent Christ's righteousness. Now that's our hope. That's what we got. So what we see here and all this madness today, we are, woo-wee. You know, people you ain't never seen before. You don't even know they was on the earth. Going to be all singing the same song, giving glory. And the spontaneous praise of the redeemed will be a joyous part of life in heaven.
Well, I like the fact that it tells us there's going to be people from every nation.
Yes, every nation.
Every language.
Yes.
You know, so that folks will know when God says, you know, go out and all generation, everybody.
Yes.
You know.
Amen.
He's not a respecter of person.
Amen. No. Amen. And there will be, I long to see people from Indonesia and different parts of Africa and New Zealand and Iceland and Finland and everybody Amen. Coming together,
Amen.
Africa, and my, what a glorious, awesome. And we're all praising,
yes.
giving praise and glory and honor. Oh, that's,
Additionally, mm-hmm. when you look at verse number 5 through number 8 there, you pointed out earlier that these are Israelites. This is emphatically stating that these are Jews,
mm-hmm.
Israelites as well,
yeah.
Jews,
mm-hmm.
Jewish people. And on the surface, and factually, that will burst the bubble
right.
of one denomination
that
maintain that they are part of the 144,000. This actually burst a bubble. Now, mm-hmm. when you look at verse number 9, which you just labored on about the great multitude of Indonesia and somebody else you mentioned mm-hmm. there, this great multitude of people, these are basically the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
These are basically the Gentiles that he's mm-hmm. talking about here. So there will be that 144,000, the earth will be revamped with evangelists throughout to evangelize those who have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ before.
And they're the Israelites who were God had preserved, okay? Now they will be out not only evangelizing to the Jewish people, but also to the Gentiles.
Yes.
Because when we are all brought together in mm-hmm. Christ, we come together, Jew and Gentile, and we become the Church of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Jesus presents Amen. Us to as His Church. We are the body of Christ, but once we are all gathered and come into one, we become the Church of God. So now we're at 13, let's see, who do I have? 13 and 14, a reader, please, verses 13 and 14.
Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from? And I say to him, Sir, you know. So he said to me, These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation, and washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.
Wow.
So we see that this multitude has come through a great adversity.
Mm-hmm.
And their characters have been purified through the blood of the Lamb. Mm-hmm. Somebody turn to 1 John chapter 1, verse 7.
It says, brethren, I write, one and seven. That's when I was over. Okay, 1 John 1:7 said, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. So if we are in Christ, which we are, we have strength to go through any affliction. We may think that, I know, I'm going to speak for myself, things that I have experienced, I just thought, oh my, nobody else could ever experience this, how horrible it is, oh God, why me, you know. I was not, remember we talked about the promises last week, the promises, I wasn't you know, holding fast to those promises. I was being clouded by the circumstances that I was faced with and the problems versus standing on the Word of God and pressing in. So I say to all who is listening today, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you.
Yes.
And that's Philippians 4:13. We know it. And if you don't, I challenge you to submit to it. I challenge you to submit to it. Christ will give us peace. He will give us grace. And he will strengthen of character us today. He will strengthen us of character to live in the last days of Earth's history. And that's what we have to hold on to, because we're going to see some things before. There's some things that, if not, just look at the climatic changes. Look at there's no need for no one to be hungry on the earth. No one.
None.
Amen.
But it's out of greed and sin and so forth. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to see it with our own eyes. Myself, I just say, Lord, give me grace, because it'll break your heart to see how we just misuse and treat each other. It's horrible. No love at all. I mean, just horrible. And when I see homeless people, I know that, and I've worked with homeless people, and there's some principles about why they're on, but there should be no homeless person. Jesus said the poor will be with you always. But he wasn't just talking about materialistic. He was talking about the poor, the lacking of faith. You know, because when we see poor, we always think of monetary. Well, what did he tell you? Poor, naked, and everything else. If you didn't know Jesus, you know. So, but God never intended for his creation to be in this condition it's in now. He never, because. First of all, it wouldn't have been no death if they hadn't messed around and ate that fruit, you
right.
know. So now we see this. But I just want to just encourage you all to know that God, that the Lord God will give you strength and character to see to go through and to see the things that are happening and just have it. Because there's sometimes myself when I see things so devastating, I don't even know how to pray for it. Mm-hmm. I just say, Lord, you know, that's why he told us, he cautioned us not to get caught up in the wares of the world. because you can go where the young people are today that say, if God is so good and so full of love, why is all this happening?
Yeah.
You know, and so forth, and it can mess with you. I don't give Satan no credit. It's what we allow to get up there, mm-hmm. and we start entertaining.
Amen.
So we're now at verse. Anybody 15. Have any thoughts about where we've been so far, or
just a brief comment?
Yes, sir.
Based upon what my young elder read there, I mean, I love those two verses together there. Is that one of the elders answered, saying unto me. Then he go into this gyration of the couple of questions. I had a flashback on the question. He said, and when he answered, he said, I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And my flashback, remember the bones in Ezekiel, you know, when he said, can these bones live? And he answered the question, say, thou knowest. I just had a flashback on that. Say, well, I don't know, but you know it. He answered appropriately. And this particular saying here, I don't know, but I know you know us. You know.
That's the same, yes.
Mm-hmm.
That was my flashback on that, on those
and
two.
Then days. I had a flashback when he just remember the rich man had all that plenty,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and that that's he didn't want to buy. Mm-hmm. And he said within himself, that this is what I do.
Mm-hmm.
That I would cut out my barn and I would build up a greater barn, mm-hmm. that I may have faith to restore all my good.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all remember that thing?
Mm-hmm. That's
not a good one. Yeah. I can be happy. Now I forgot about the poor and needy.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. On self.
Yes.
That's right.
So, any other comments before we, we're now at 15?
Well, I see it as a words of encouragement that these saints were able to stand on
yes.
the word of God through the tribulation.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And, you know, that
long.
Is, the tribulation
yes.
is nothing like what we're dealing
mm-mm.
with today. So this is an encouragement to me that I could also go through what I'm going through today because they made it,
mm-hmm.
you know. And we can make it.
Yes. Well, yeah. we can make it because the promise tells us you can do all things through Christ who strengthens
exactly.
you. And if you keep your mind on me, I'll keep it in perfect peace. So we got it.
Mm-hmm.
We just got to practice it. We just got to declare
it.
We just got to walk it out.
Mm-hmm.
You got to walk it out.
Mm-hmm.
You got. Yeah, we got to. And you got to fight to walk it out.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so much opposition. And so much deception,
yeah.
and so much wooingness that's so clever to get you turning your head, you know. And even the best of us will say, well, now, let's see. No, you know, well, now, let's see. God said it, and it's settled. He said, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. So.
And, you know, coming on something Sister Rose said
mm-hmm.
to me, and I love all of my comments here, but that was the best comment I've heard
yes,
since I've
been sitting. Yes, that was good meat.
When you go back and look at the tribulations, what we're going through now ain't nothing.
I know.
Not even.
And when I say that, you compare apples to the oranges during the tribulation period. I mean, the 144,000, they will be labeled with the forehead, the mark of God, and then there will be the 666. So you're going to have this 666 here on somebody's forehead, and if you don't have a mark, you can be labeled for death.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So when you look at the 144,000, they will have a mark of God on their forehead.
His name.
Then when you look at the 666, they will be Ronald Reagan changed his address. I never forget that one. You know, you're going to have these people out there who living a life. You can be killed for any little thing if you don't have a certain mark on your head. But God preserved His people.
Yes, mm-hmm.
God preserved those. I think they used the word righteousness
mm-hmm.
earlier. These people that God preserved, they're not afraid of the 666 and the beast and anybody else because
mm-hmm.
God has covered them.
Mm.
Right.
God has covered them.
Mm. So we need to have that same
mentality.
Yeah, we have to have that same mindset, steadfast mindset, that God is protecting us because we belong to Him. Mm-hmm. We belong to the Most High God. Mm-hmm. We are children. You want to say something, Brother Luke? I thought you... any other good nuggets? Anyone?
Well, at this point, we could put a pin in and say hallelujah.
and you really can, because you can go back and look at verse number number 12, that when you talk about the sevenfold amen right there, the sevenfold blessings there. Blessings, I mean, that's glory. Awesome in and of itself.
Yes. Oh, my Lord.
Mm-hmm. I tell you, getting understanding of this word will just soup you up, you mean, I mean, you super, mm-hmm. you know? And if you keep getting super, then how about living a life of supernatural grace?
Mm. Yes.
Oh, my.
Amen.
Supernatural grace.
Amen.
You know, I think back about at the beginning when we started Revelation, it says, those who study or read this book is blessed, you know? So it told us that at the very beginning, and now we're seeing why he said that at the very beginning. Mm-hmm. But also it breaks my heart when I think about how so many people in the body of Christ are afraid to read it. The book
That's
of
right.
Revelation.
That's right.
You know, and it just seems like it's the work of the enemy to keep them, you know, from this book.
That's right.
It's some of the lack of teaching and not understanding the symbolism. You have to be taught.
Yeah,
right?
but you get taught everything else. You dive into everything else. You do research on everything else. This is awesome. You know, this is really encouraging.
I would say because the book of Revelation tells us who Jesus is, that is why the enemy works so hard, even in even in Christendom, to stay away from this.
The theologians would have you afraid to read it.
You know, they it's because it's telling you who Jesus is. Yes, ma'am.
Exactly.
Yes, ma'am. Now we like you know, like I said years ago when we would have interagency. Interstate meetings with nonprofits that, and then you always had these prayers. Some universal person giving the prayer, you know, and they always go way out here to something at the higher power and all that. And I used to say to them, I said, now you get one of us up there and say in Jesus' name, that room will clear just like you got. They say fire. You know, but they all love this universal, and Americans have always been obsessed with mysticism, you know, and so that just captures their mind. That's why now you're seeing now on TV, there's a lot of push for this meditation, even on CDs now on meditation. There's on one local news cable channel, instead of an advertisement in between the break, they have this tree with water and the word calm. They're pushing this whole mind thing, that like in Buddhism, mind over matter, and that your calmness can come from your inner self. Yes. This is all the enemy. Yes. This is, I mean, it is so sublime. Mm-hmm. And
so,
we have.
Oh,
okay. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Finish.
No, I'm.
No. The dilemma for me as a thinking person and seeing so much and hearing so much, and I can understand why some ministers or ministries say, don't even pay attention to what's going on in the world. Mm-hmm. But then others say, yeah, you need to look at the Bible along with what's going on in the world. But it, to me, it says that you have to be so sure of what you know and be so convinced of what you know in order to convince others. Because sometimes I sit back and wonder, there are so many people with so many beliefs, and I don't see them changing. But if we don't change, they won't change. Or if we don't share, they won't they won't change. So you understand? Am I making sense?
Yeah.
It's a dilemma to...
This was a very good question. I'm preempting a statement. Have you ever thought if what would happen if Jesus didn't come back? You know, some people will already say, "Well, that never crossed my mind." And then I say, "Have you ever looked at the parable? Help me out here, my elder, about the rich man. You know, when he gave these guys their talent, and this one guy said, "Well, I'm not going to do anything because he may not come back." Remember that? Mm-hmm. You know the parable I'm talking about.
I know the parable you're talking about, but I don't remember that.
When you look at that parable there. One of the guys, his mindset is saying, "Well, I'm not going to do anything because he may not come back."
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's saying that. If you look at the parable closely, that's what he's saying. So when you make a statement and say, "Well, I never thought about that." Well, when we don't do things the way the world would like for us to do them, we know that Christ is coming back. This book, as Rose said a few minutes ago, the Revelation here. He is coming back. He declared and decreed that he is coming back.
Yeah.
This book, I think somebody said that, I think you said that people are afraid of it. I remember this year, last year, I was on the way to the VA hospital and on the little bus there. And I'm reading a nice book there about Revelation. I think it was that book that we have. Mm-hmm. And the guy opposite me asked me, "What was I reading?" I said, "It's a book on Revelation." He frowns, "Man, that's heavy."
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to let him go at that. I'm saying, "What do you mean? That's heavy stuff." I said, I heard that, but what do you mean? You know, that's confusing. I said, "Why is it confusing?" Mm-hmm. You know, you got to talk to me. You just can't get off with me by making statements like that, you know. And eventually, he said that he had never read it. He had heard about it.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Exactly. Uh-huh. They said it was coming. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
So we get in this mode, as you pointed out. Well, we don't know this because we haven't been exposed to it. We don't have enough get up and go to read it, study it, and things of that nature like that. And then ask questions.
Yeah.
You know, we don't do that.
And share what we learn. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
That's what the Hebrew 10:24 and 10:25.
Good. So, 13. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of the great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him night and day in his temple. And he sitteth that he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. For they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all their tears from their eyes. You know, when Jesus said, "It is over," Jesus promised to his precious children who have suffered great trials, hunger and thirst and other hardships are no more. This is what he's saying. He wipes away their tears, and he, the bread of life, the source of living water, gives them food and quenches their thirst. Those who made Jesus their Lord and Savior will have the Lamb among them for all eternity. There are unimaginable joys, wonders, and delights for all who accept his invitation to come. And if someone would turn to Revelation 3:20 and someone to Matthew 11:28. Okay. Revelation
3:20?
Yes, ma'am, please.
It says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me."
Okay.
In Matthew 1, 11.
11:28.
Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary, carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest."
So Jesus delights for all who accept his invitation to come, where their thirst no more, and hunger no more, tears no more. Any comments or nuggets you want to give us?
What happened, man? What did you say?
I said, you want any nuggets you want to add to this?
Like I told Bobby one day, just get your name in the book.
Amen. Amen.
You're always telling me stuff like that, too.
Let's just make it plain. Just get your name written in the book.
And how do you get your name written in the book?
By accepting Jesus.
Amen.
Because of your faith in Christ Jesus, you now become sons of God. Sons in this context means children of God.
Right.
And speaking of children, back to the comment that you were making about the CDs. We'll make sure that everybody knows that on television this week, it might have been this weekend, they had, they're really pushing it on the phones. Having little children, you know, this was a school setting, but someone had come into the school telling them to meditate.
Oh.
Several different so-called authorities were getting the children, the very young, about meditating, and it had nothing to do with Christmas, nothing to do with Christ, just meditating and making the children make comments about how busy their minds were, that they couldn't think, that they needed to stop. They needed to go in the restroom or somewhere and meditate.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it was on the children more than it was the adults. They started out with adults, and the majority of the time was spent just letting you see what's going on in the school.
Mm-hmm. It didn't say what they were meditating on. It just says just to meditate, right?
Yeah, they gave some suggestions, some ideas for them to meditate on.
Oh, okay. Mm.
Well, we have now completed chapter 7, and before we end, are there any questions or additional comments to be made? If not, we will convene next Tuesday, and we'll be turning to Revelation 8. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for this time that you have given us, O God, the time that we come together to seek you, Lord, more of you in your word, O God. I pray today, Father, in the name of Jesus, that each and every one of your children here have received understanding and have been enlightened, O God, that they may be able to encourage and share with others, Lord. Mm-hmm. The good news of Christ and the good news of Christ and God, Lord God, and that you are a forgiving God, a loving God, a merciful God. So, Father, bless your children here today. Bless their children and their grandchildren, Lord God, and give them, O God, the strength of character to press on in these last days. We give you all the glory and honor, Father, for you are God and God alone. You are the holy, righteous God, creator of all things in heaven and earth. We bless you. We magnify you. We exalt you. And we offer ourselves today as living sacrifices to you, O God, holy and acceptable. It is in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, your precious Son, that we say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And amen.
Amen.
I missed the scripture in First Kings.